guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is NCMA Podcast, back with another guest today. Steven, how are you doing today?
Fine.
Tell the audience a little about yourself, what you do, and anything about you.
Well, as you've known, as you've heard time and time again, I work in hospitality, I love video games and dogs.
Okay. Well, yeah. So today we're going to do a topic of digital assets and customer protection. So we're going to go over four different examples of a digital asset that either a company has or a newest trend that has come into recent events. So, the four aspects that we'll be discussing is Xbox going fully digital on their apps, on their game store. Then, we're also going to have Apple's software streamlining iPhone. So, the software that Apple has making iPhones what they are. And then we also go into digital stocks like Bitcoin and other metrics and stocks that are recorded. And then we also going to cover NFTs, the non-tangible tokens, which has been on a rise lately as a digital asset alternative to Bitcoin. Let's start with Xbox. Xbox going digital. So what is the full get up with that, and how have they done it?
You mean as their digital assets?
Yes.
Well, Xbox are going to the point where all they're going to have is digital. Phil Spencer has mentioned time and time and again that by 2027, they're going to have no physical anything. Everything is going to be up to a cloud server, which goes to their assets, which without their digital cloud anything, they have no assets, meaning they have no product. They have nothing except their PCs, which bring in a lot more sales than their game division.
Well, but them going to the cloud to get additional money through Xbox membership is their big chunk of change that they make more in that than the actual games itself.
Well, the games themselves are going to be more productive. And of course, you're always going to have old sages that want to stick to the physical.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about digital, I would say it's going to be a better future for Xbox as far as digital property goes. Because digital property, you have to look at this. If you buy a game offline, do you own that game? No.
You only own it to the degree of the way you bought it. So when you bought it, you digitally own it. So as a digital ownership, that game can be taken off with advance notice, them telling you in advance it's going to be taken off. And that's the only recourse of action.
And that's an asset. When you buy something, it becomes not only an asset to you because you're playing it, but it becomes an asset to them. Not just in stock market prices, but in... you paid for a part of one of their products, and their products are their asset. Without their products, they have no assets.
Boom. And then not having the game being digital also saves cost for the hardware.
I'm sorry, what?
The hardware, they don't have to invest as much money into distributing disc where they can save money on the digital. And sell the digital for a little bit cheaper than the hardware version?
That is true. If you go digital, we're not spending near as much money on the physical stuff. Because think about it. When you make a game, you have to produce it into a physical disc. Or whichever they use.
Yeah.
And that's using up money. But with the physical asset, you don't have to do much. Because you're just buying or renting the game. Because like you said, when you rent the game, you own it, but Microsoft also owns it. Because think about this. The problem with digital gaming is this. At any time, Microsoft can end their production of the game, agreement, whatever. Or they can end it with the company that's producing that game. So either way, if you download or own it on digital, you're losing out. Because once you eliminate that asset, you can't play it. That's what's happening to a lot of these older games. Is it's not the fact that they don't want you to play it. They can't because they're losing the rights to that asset.
Well, but wouldn't it be advantageous for the companies leaving that asset to make it digital to recover some of the losses from the licensing light?
That depends. Like, if you're asking whether how we turn a physical game into an asset, you really can't unless you sell the rights from that physical game to Microsoft or somebody. You really can't.
Okay. Well, you could always put it in Gamers Pass, but that might not be feasible.
Yeah. But the way Gamers Pass is going, it's all going to be digital. Mm. But Game Pass has always been digital. At this point, if you want physical games from Microsoft, you're going to have to look into a mom-and-pop store or a pawn shop. Because the actual major stores, minus GameStop, are not going to carry the physical copies. Walmart has mentioned that they're getting rid of physical copies, which is actually redundant because they sell the consoles. And the console is also one of their assets.
Well, and the console, the physical asset, the thing is, lost down to the consoles, they only really get more money if they sell you a new console. Unless they sell you the storage and the membership.
Well, take this new Xbox Pro that's coming out. It's all digital. First, they produced the Xbox X Series, which is the big tower one, the black one. One of the main reasons they sold so many is it had a disk drive. But now they're getting rid of that feature and making the Pro version of that. But here's the difference. That Pro version is all digital. There's no disk drive. Sony did the same thing with their Pro, which is a ripoff, but it has no disk drive. Sony's product is a ripoff because they just came out with the fifth series, charging about $600 for that one console. Now they came out with the Pro a year later, and you have to pay $700 for that. So the people that bought the PlayStation 5, I don't know about you, but if you just bought one, are you now, a year later, gonna want to be paying another $700 for an upgraded version that has no disk drive? But the reason we bring the consoles up is they're also considered assets. They're assets because you need the console to play the game.
Yeah, since the liquidation of the physical console, it's only been stretching so far for digital asset. It only will give them an extra sale to the storage, which is the cloud, or the Gamers Pass, or the Xbox membership. Because sometimes, isn't the Xbox membership the Gamers Pass, or that separate? Well, no, sometimes you need an Xbox card for the internet.
PlayStation, in comparison, it does have their own online game store, but they're selling most of the games for $70 a pop. So think about this. Game Pass is going to keep Microsoft alive digitally. They're not really selling consoles. Even Phil Spencer admitted that. But the reason they're not selling a lot of consoles is the console you do buy, now you have Game Pass. It's expensive, but you get all these games for free. Yes, there are a few exclusives that they release on there, and you have to pay maybe $50. But you're buying that particular game once for $50. It's not like PlayStation where they have to buy each individual exclusive for $70. But here's the disadvantage. A lot of people like the physical concept. They're not going to get to the point where they can't do that. And they're still paying $70 to buy that game in a digital format, but they don't really want the digital. They're forced to because all the physical games are going away. but a physical game, a console, a digital game, since you use the word asset, is all assets to the company. Assets to the company. Assets to the company is anything that can make them a profit.
Well, in the digital aspect of Xbox going full digital, is to fully assert that maybe the older games are going to need a new market when they're maybe selling that the older game. So maybe that older game has to become digital to get a stance in the new digital age.
Yep, that's right. You can't sell it. That's the disadvantage of the digital. If you have the physical, a lot of people can turn around and sell it. Just like if I have one game that's physical, I beat it so many times, I don't want it, but you want the game, I can turn around and sell it to you, let's say for $30, depending on the game. But as a digital standpoint, you can't do that because
it's backed up by
and it's not yours. It's not yours.
Yeah, it's the individual account that's locking it. So whatever the IP address that downloaded the game under the account is the one that plays it.
What was the question?
Oh, it's just the aspect of the game in which you buy it, it's linked to your account, and it being linked to your account is actually the how they track we bought that game.
Yes, and it can have its positives or negatives. It can have its positive that it's always there, and the negatives is if you get locked out of the account.
Well, and then Xbox going digital, the customer support and unlocking the account should be easier. So if they still stick with the old policy, well, that's going to be complaints waiting to happen. Now they have to upgrade the support system, submit a ticket, and they need to, what they should do, if they want to get back in the game, instead of authorizing who you are, they should have two-factor authentication as an easier way to identify you than go into the full process, your ID, tell you the owner, stuff like that. So, I don't know, that'll be an issue for them to solve that we don't really have to worry about until that happens.
You mean issues between the physical and the digital?
I'm talking about the issue of customer support if you get locked into your account.
Well, the problem with customer support is they've become more stingy over the years about just letting you back in. You have to know your security question codes. You have to know the phone number that was attached to the locked account. What email? If you don't know all this, they'll lock you out of it because they think maybe you're trying to steal somebody's account. So customer service has gotten more strict on things too. So digital is going to be a benefit or a negative. I personally, when I had an Xbox, I had to create two new accounts just to get my gamer score back because I got locked out of my original one.
Well, yeah, they're definitely not going to make it easy.
No.
I mean, Facebook makes it a lot easier to verify using Xbox.
Facebook?
Yeah, you can get locked out of your Facebook. They ask some questions. They typically send the email or they send the phone number. Well, that's all they usually send.
No. Unfortunately, Xbox needs to do one at the same, but they've become too strict. PlayStation, I don't know about because I'm not a Sony boy. I've never liked any of their games.
I mean, PlayStation is just kind of little things. It's always been competitive, but in the background.
All I know about PlayStation is their last sort of one-hit wonder was Spidey. But there's talking on his assets standpoint, Spider-Man had a lot of problems. The main being, you waited all this time to basically play the equivalent of a DLC. I mean, DLCs take, what, 24 hours, maybe 48? The whole game on Spider-Man took 3 days. And they didn't have much open world.
But so, the game was limited with launch anyway. So, well, yeah, that's for a little segment on Xbox going digital. Let's jump to Apple software real quick. Apple software. So the software you pay when you have an iPhone.
Well, Apple's always been, in my opinion, all digital. The only thing physical is when you buy the unit, like the phone I'm using.
Well, the phone itself is mostly it's hardware exported out of another company. Like Samsung will make the product, make the parts. Well, Apple would back it up by the software to run the phone.
I see what you're getting at. The actual unit is the hardware, meaning the phone, but all the software is tied to your Apple ID.
Yes.
So technically, most of these people's Apple's assets are going to be physical. So think about it. Apple does music. They do iPads, the buds or earphones. They do iPhones, but they make more money on their iPhones.
Yeah.
Than anything. Now,
the reason the iPhone was so successful is because we need updates and new software. Because Apple is backed by the software, that's why when you have an Apple device, it's worth more in the Macintosh world because of the fact that it's made to a higher quality, but also has more updates. So there's continually be updates 5 years later on that older phone that still has a good value in the used device market, because you're backed by that software. The software is the reason why that phone is still compatible. Like an Android, well, guess what? 2 years later down the line, it's completely incompatible because the software updates are not happening.
Of course, like you can't take and make a Android compatible with an iPhone.
Yeah, it just won't work.
Yeah. I do know there's an app to make an Android work like an iPhone, but you can't do that the opposite way. But see, that could be considered an asset too.
Well, the only thing that Android has going for is APK files. You can create a copy of an app as a backup and download that as an alternative than Google Play Store. If you can't access Google Play Store and you lost your access to get into Google itself, you can download the APK file, and that's a different version of that same app, but it'll still be compatible. It just might be a different version of the same or a similar app. However, with APK files, you have a problem with torrent, and where you download it and who is the person you downloaded it from. But with Apple, they're very good on security, and that software backing is good for the long haul. You ever see the last of a threat to your privacy and data when Apple is backing it?
Well, when Apple backs anything, it becomes a partial asset to them, because Apple's problem is they don't want to work with people. They want to own the product. It's theirs. No discussion. Like a lot of companies, they'll work one-on-one like we're talking. But Apple wants to be a sole individual. They don't want to work with you because they want their product to be their product.
That's why they push out the updates so much. But that's the only thing they have to continue the sale, because, well, what you just said, if you're not pushing a new device, a new phone, new iPod, new iPad, whatever, well, guess what? You're going to make the people that already bought devices keep the devices they have. If you're constantly pushing out new product and making it feel like they need to buy that new product.
Yeah, let's also not forget the Apple ID. Now see, that's the other way they control people. The Apple ID, if you forget that or lose that or can't access it, the phone's useless.
True.
Because it controls everything.
And they did that maliciously. They did that with a purpose. They basically make your ID as the fingerprint to the Apple device to register it, to use it. And without it, it becomes redundant to use because you can't access it. There's ways to get around it, but it's a lengthy process to get around it.
There's not really much ways to get around it beyond contacting Apple if you can't reset it.
And you know how any support is, they'll take a long time to help you.
What you need to make sure is a lot of people try to sell their iPhones after the new one comes out. With my company, I qualify for upgrade. But if you're going to sell yours, make sure that you deactivate the ID. Because if you don't, people can gain access to your account easily.
And also, they can also be locked out of the account if you don't deactivate it. Because if they try to do two Apple IDs, well, eventually it's going to be a problem where maybe the old ID or the new ID converge and overlap in a way that red flags in the Apple software system.
Well, yeah, but having an Apple ID too is actually has its advantages, because if you call Apple about it, let's say your phone gets stolen, you can't find it, but you call Apple directly, they can actually use location services and find it immediately. And they can also lock down the accounts. Apple has a better location service than your phone does, because they can track the ID directly.
True. And with, you know, Google has a similar feature as well.
Yeah.
I use it because it's, well,
the biggest issue, but see, these are all assets. People talk about assets just being like the game is a console's assets. But an asset could also be
location feature.
A service. Location thing. An asset, the word asset definition means something to benefit you. That's your asset.
Yeah, look at Apple. They have Apple TV,
iTunes.
They get into the App Store, which gives even more incentivization to use their app. Safari used to be their go-to browser. Guess what? Google is paying Apple ridiculously amount of money for Chrome to be the main browser. You know why Apple's doing that? Because now they don't have to back up Safari as a default web browser. They can use Chrome instead and outsource that service to them because they're paying for it. They're paying for Apple to use Chrome as the default browser. So at the end of the day, they're saving money, and Google is the one that's paying all this money to Apple.
So yeah, exactly. Because Apple, while it's not ideal to use Google on an Apple phone, Safari's their main thing.
Yes.
But I downloaded Chrome because I find Chrome to be a far better internet browser.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you're talking about, outsourcing. Whether it's on your phone or not, Google is a different company. So it's being outsourced. Even though Apple is using it, they're outsourcing that service back to Google so they can keep things running. Because if they don't, it won't work. Because Apple does not have a monopoly on Google. Apple and Google do work together.
Yeah.
It's not just a monopoly. A monopoly would be the Microsoft Xbox merger. It almost didn't get passed because the FCC almost considered it a monopoly. That's why you saw in the paper all the fights they were having. They're still having them. But the person in charge of the FCC has a butthurt against Microsoft. So, but the point is, the FCC almost didn't approve Microsoft's merger because they thought it was a monopoly. The reason I brought that up is because of Google and Apple. Apple and Google work hand in hand and make an asset. But the problem is, they outsource that asset.
And typically with these companies, the customer protection from the customer's end is usually the support. And if the support is not the way to go to solve the problem, the only other resource to go to is like the FTC, if it's a violation of the FTC, or the FCC, depending on what is the situation.
And that was what the merger is.
Yeah. And Apple promises an update on the TOS, and you buy this iPhone based on new features that were advertised, and you find that those features are not in, well, you can sue Apple for breach of contract and false advertising. So that's why they're very push it out fast type of content, but they try to give what they said to keep the people happy, to keep buying.
That's in any business.
Apple does it especially because they want to incentivize you to buy the new device that's coming on the market.
They also want to deliver a superior service because they've been sued so many times that they're sick of it.
Yeah.
And they're at the point where they're sick of it. Even though the majority of those lawsuits don't hold up, they're sick of being in the court.
True. So that's why they make that TOS so clear. They say they're going to deliver something. They usually deliver it. So very few times has a new Apple product been released that doesn't meet the customer feedback loop. So most people are pleased with the new item they bought, even though they're perfectly fine with two generations ago.
Well, I mean, it also delivering depends on the person.
Yeah, but if you're going to spend $700 to $1,000...
Because a lot of people feel a good one. A lot of people feel like they when the 15 came out, they had a couple returns because a lot of people thought that the phone wasn't up to the specifications that they were listing. But it actually was. Some people just didn't use the features that the phone had, so they're like, well, this isn't what the phone was. But you're not using the features that the phone has.
Yeah. The thing is, if the 15 came out, guess what? You're still good to use the 10 or the 13.
And, you know, I still have the regular 15. I'm thinking about getting the regular 16. What's holding me off is the price.
Yeah. So typically, the resale value of an Apple phone is 2 to 3 years after they buy it. So typically, they will upgrade 2 to 3 years after buying a new phone. They'll sell the used phone as an in-store credit to get a cheaper version and just pay the difference. Because Apple, well, on the used market, holds value 5 to 10 years later. So that phone still has most of its value. It doesn't depreciate much. However, people don't realize their software is so good that previous generation is still receiving similar updates to the newer generation.
Yeah, I was going to say that some people, not a lot, still have the 12s or the 13s. And I am not saying that you have to have the biggest number, but there's nothing wrong with the 12 or 13. They still work. What Apple's trying to do is get rid of anything under a 13. So the 12s and under, they're trying to get rid of them. But what they're starting to realize is there's a lot of people that have not upgraded yet. And think about that. They would lose a lot of their user base if they do that.
And the thing is, sometimes these parents have bought this new phone. They will upgrade to get a new phone, keep the old phone, give it to a family member. Let them use it. So the reused value of an Apple phone is ridiculous.
All right.
The software is too good. Problem is, they don't want people to catch on that the software is so good that they can save phones and not upgrade as much. They want you to upgrade to make more money.
They also, this is about them keeping trade secrets too. They don't want to reveal too much of it because then people are going to be less encouraged to buy a new phone.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Okay, the 7s, the 8s, the 9s, they really don't get too many updates because they're too old.
Yeah.
But anything 12 and up is going to get the same thing that the 15 and 16 grid in software updates.
Yeah.
And they're not going to touch the 12 and 13 and up, or the 12s, because they know they still have a fan base.
True.
And without the fan base, they have nothing.
Which is why Apple software streamlines the iPhone to the point where, I will admit this, I haven't thought at one point that I might buy and use Apple because of the fact that their software is so good. I actually have considered buying a spare phone being a used Apple phone because of the memory, because of the digital storage, because everything that their software backs up and so many services that they give.
So let me ask this. You're a Samsung person. You've admit that. But if you were to switch to Apple, what would be the reason?
The hardest switch to Apple would be the easy access to digital storage. Having a phone with 64 gigabytes is good, but having access to that digital storage with like 32 or even 100 more gigabytes of storage, even better.
Well, and a traditional, not a Pro Max, a regular iPhone of any kind, just the regular one, starts out around 64 plus gigabytes.
Yes.
I don't know how much Samsung has because I've never used a Samsung.
Their standard is either 32 or 64. I have 64 gigabytes. Guess what? I'm almost out myself. I'm using Google 100 gigabytes a month because I ran out of room on my old Google Drive. But I also have three different emails through Google. So my storage issue is fixed through other cloud-based services. So I kind of solved my own problem when it comes to storage. That's probably why I didn't buy an Apple phone. I didn't buy an iPhone because my storage is backed up by these other services that it's easier to pay for additional storage, which is the entire issue of what I bought an iPhone.
Well, see, that's the thing. Your phone can only be 64, but you can pay for additional storage to be added to the phone through the iPhone.
Yeah. I also have SD card storage access too, so I can put an SD card in and have everything to photos and videos.
Well, you can pay for more storage, but it's not going to be on the phone itself. It's going to be through the iCloud.
Yes. However, I don't like Apple having so much control in their software. That kind of makes me afraid to switch. When in reality, I know the software is good, but
I'm not saying
hardware is not that great.
I was simply saying that what would your reason be? Obviously, your reason would be storage.
Yes, it would be storage and security features.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Apple has the most secure network there is.
Yeah, that is one of them.
I got locked out of my 9 once. Like, I could not figure out the life of me. Apparently, somebody on a third party had gone in, and Apple had thought that I was accusing them of fraud. Wow. And I had to talk to the guy. I did buy the games from the phone, but a third party then bought 2 more of the same kind of games. And this is an example of their customer service. They were very professional. They listened to the story. They went in and checked, and they said, oh, I can see what you're talking about. You did buy one copy because this is from your ID. But the other 2 you bought, they don't have IDs. I was like, so are you going to unlock my phone? She said, this time, yes. But the next time, you need to go through Apple, not the phone company, and make a claim. They don't like people challenging them. That's one of the big things. But they did restore the phone because we see what happened here. Their biggest pet peeve with their customers is you try to go and solve it with the phone company or the bank when there's fraud. They want you coming to them.
Yeah, but the problem is people are going to deal with the resources they have instead of just going to them. Because technically, Apple's support system is very lengthy and complicated.
I like Apple again because of the storage. I like it because of the voice features, and the customer service is not that bad if you actually get somebody that's from America.
Yeah, true. So that's a little bit about Apple. Apple's software streamlining iPhone. The next is NFTs and BitChain and blockchain technology. So NFT is a non-fungible token. It's unique in a digital identifier that's recorded on a blockchain. Mm-hmm. It's used to certify ownership and authenticity. It cannot be copied, substituted, or subdivided. So think of NFT as a little bit more advanced on Bitcoin. There's really only be one Bitcoin. And there can't be no transfer of that Bitcoin. Once you pay it, that Bitcoin is to the payment and process, and that no longer can be converted. And an NFT, it makes ownership like a chip to identify you as the owner.
Well, what is the question? Because I'm letting you take the lead on this because I don't know what they are.
Well, basically, how would you feel if you were a digital artist? You didn't really have anything to prove that you're the owner of your work. NFTs comes along, and now you actually have an easy way.
Are we talking about, like, patents?
No, but what'd you say? NFTs are like patents for the digital age. They are unique identifying tokens that identify you as the owner. It certifies ownership and it being authentic. So as a digital artist, you are prolonging your content by accessing a new market, but also having it easily traced back to you like a watermark. You ever had those watermarks on videos you can't get rid of? You know what I'm talking about? A watermark?
No, it sounds like you're talking about ownership. Like if I owned a piece of artwork.
Yes.
Or if I owned EA Games, yeah, I'll take the artwork over them. I'll take the artwork over there. Because no offense to EA, but if their next game is a piece of trash, they're not going to last long.
True. And this, the ownership of the NFT is recorded in the blockchain. It can be transferred by the owner, allowing NFTs to be sold and traded. That's what's so unique about NFT.
Well, it sounds like you can trade whatever you just said the numbers were, anything. Because yeah. I could trade a piece of artwork, but it sounds like the dangers would be the transfer of ownership, the authenticity of the product.
NFT solves that.
Yeah. So you have to have what you commented to make sure it's authentic. And the value itself.
And in the blockchain, there's actually certain features that can be used to trace ownership. So you have the smart contract address. Then you have the smart contract's IP. So you have the address where it comes from, then the IP associated with it. Then for the non-intangible token, the smart contract is the program that's designed to execute the contract term. So the agreement is enforceable through the blockchain technology. Makes it a lot easier to sell because now there's confidence behind that blockchain doing the work for you.
Well, you can sell almost anything. It should be the competence in the seller.
Yes. And typically NFTs have a weird market because any digital art software might not be worth a lot if they sold it entirely, but through an NFT, the fan base determines the value. So, in retrospect, your piece of work, if you would have sold it, you would have made less money than through an NFT. NFT, you can actually make, there's an avenue to make more money through. If you auction it off and you only create one version, guess what? Limited access will sell that more than mass production. So if you think about it, NFT, if you sold it at an auction, can potentially be paid off and people getting a bidding war over it. But what they actually bought is, what they bought was simplistic value, personal value to them, not necessarily monetary value at the end of it. Anybody will create an NFT. It requires few or no coding skills to create. They are digital files such as artworks, photos, videos, and audio. Because NFTs are so identifiable, they're not cryptocurrency, which are the opposite of an NFT. Hence the name, non-fungible token. Cryptocurrency is fungible, which is different than the non-fungible aspect of the NFT.
Okay.
But NFT is also weird because 95% of NFT collections don't have monetary value. That's weird to look at for the simple fact in NFT, you're buying it for personal value. Intrinsic value is what sells NFT. You're not selling an NFT to make money off it. You're buying it because you like it and want to pay money for it. Mm-hmm. It's like that car that gets so customized that the amount of money you put in it and then you try to sell it, you can't get the money back. That's the only negative to the NFTs. If you are a private citizen buying an NFT and this big macho digital creator is creating these, well, the value that you paid for is worth less than what's actually worth in real life. So NFTs is a weird territory as a digital asset because of that. And the thing is, sometimes the sale of NFTs can be illegal if not done right. It can be a fraud. You can claim it has value, but it doesn't have value in the financial sense. You know, you have a public certificate of authenticity, great, and proof of ownership, but legally, NFT is uncertain. The ownership is defined by the blockchain and has no inherent legal meaning. Does not mean that you have copyright, IP, intellectual property rights, or other rights with the digital file. NFT doesn't restrict the sharing or copying it of its associated digital file and does not prevent the creation that reference identical file. So it's weird because it's speculative investment has drawn for the energy cost and carbon footprint with some types of blockchains as well as art scams. So NFTs are one of the weird things you have to look out for. So what do you think about NFT now? What do you think about it? It's a weird investment that doesn't always guarantee that you're the legal owner.
Well, it's very weird because you wouldn't physically own everything of it.
Yeah.
But it's not like buying a piece of artwork where the artwork is not initially yours. You're buying it from somebody. You would own that piece of artwork.
Mm-hmm. So NFT creates a economic bubble. It's also compared to a Ponzi scheme because this person is trying to say it has so much value. But when you reverse sell it, you can't sell it as much because it's not the original investment you put in it. So basically, if you're investing in NFTs, here's the kicker. If you're putting a bunch of money into it, like some auctions have put $500,000, that's a waste of money. NFTs should be a small transaction up to a certain amount and not have a huge frenzy bidding war because of it. If you like someone's artwork and they have an NFT and you want to support them, fine. Spend low amount of money on it as a digital download, as a digital asset. Because you, as the consumer, determines the value of that NFT. If someone else determines it to be higher value, let them have it. Because at the end, they're paying more money than what it's really actually worth in the end. So
what other talking points do you have tonight?
The other one is stocks with cryptocurrency as a digital asset, which is the opposite of NFT. You know Bitcoin, right? You know Bitcoin, right? How it's traded and all that stuff?
It's essentially, my understanding is Bitcoin is the buying of different stocks through online currency.
Yeah. And Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency that's mined. So there's a lot of effort to find it. And when you mine it, it belongs to you. And when you use to pay for it, that Bitcoin will be transferred to someone else, but in running value. So there can only be one. Once the owner has claimed it, it is yours. And when you transfer it, sell it, it changes from Bitcoin to equivalent to money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why cryptocurrency as a whole is monitored by the SEC, because there's a lot of scams out there saying that this cryptocurrency has money value when sometimes it doesn't. But Bitcoin has been proven to be backed by its process, which has made these other cryptocurrencies valuable. It's just a different exchange of money. It's all it is. And through stock of a digital asset, cryptocurrency is one digital asset that you can buy stock with. And the thing is, it's also good just to buy a computerized version of a stock with the stock market too. You ever considered buying stocks before?
Not really.
Well, you try to use Cash App and Robinhood.
Cash App? I mean, I have some small ones on there, but they're not big stock.
Yeah, you're using the companies that make it easier to learn how to invest in stocks, but really, in the long run, only going to give so much money back. The best way to buy stocks is go through a brokerage firm or a person licensed with SEC certification. There's a lot of legality in the selling of stocks that you would want to go to a trusted individual to do it, because they will be able to help you understand what is might happen or could happen, and also be the one to make the commission based off doing the work on the stock for you. As a digital asset, it's important to know that most stocks now, there's a digital version of you buying it. So the asset is not on paper anymore. It's a statistical value of a stake in the company. So that stake, when you sell it, it's backed by the shares and the price of what is being sold. So you ever seen the movie Moneyball?
The what?
Moneyball. It's
now I have not.
How about Wall Street?
No, I have not. I'll have to look into it.
Well, Wall Street is the hub in at least the United States for selling up stock. And the thing about it is a financial district that specializes in selling it, but at the same time, the challenges to the level of education to access stocks is higher than any other market because of the risk involved. If a stock can lose value overnight, it can also gain value overnight too. That's the only risky part of a stock when it comes to investing. Did you have to know when the stock is going to fall? You're also going to have to understand when the stock is going to rise. You might also have a stock that flatlined, doesn't do anything. So as a digital asset, it's very risky form of investment. It's an investment, but it has different forms of the investment with it. But have you ever considered using stocks as a way to get in?
Not really, but I mean, I figure if I ever did stocks, I would start with Bitcoin. Apparently, everything I read, it seems like it's easier than most stocks.
Well, and also crypto technology is already back because Bitcoin has a good proven track record to be traceable, minded, it's very identifiable who actually got it. So if they ever someone kind of steal it, they can't steal it. And also, once it transfers, no one else can like resell it. It's basically transferred as money. And once it's mine, it's mine. It doesn't come back. So it's only one time use.
So what are the other points, or is this the last one you want to cover?
This is the last one.
Yeah?
This is the last one with the stocks being as a digital asset with cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is a lot safer than, say, that's what I would say.
You would be the expert.
I don't know if I'm the expert, but I definitely know people trust it more. NFTs are actually more of a scam than cryptocurrency, but cryptocurrency also has the same potential to be a scam. So it's better to go with the trusted, but still, that's how you avoid being scammed in the first place. So, throughout the digital asset park and customer protection, what is one thing you found to be very informative? What have you found to be informative of this discussion?
I don't know.
We talked about digital assets, so what can be a concluding statement that we have talked about?
Well, we cover the assets of Apple, Microsoft, the thing you explained, and I guess stocks would be an asset too because of the money value.
Yeah. And it's one way to earn direct money than the other assets, because the other ones were you paying a company this money, and those services would be digital asset and the software. But this, yes, you're paying money to a company, but when you resell it, then you can, there's a greater return of money potentially, if you read the stock market light and, you know, go with someone that can help you do that. Because the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, is the ones that oversee the stock market. And they back the cryptocurrency more as a alternative to what is actually being done. So it's one of the safer ways to invest your money because of all the oversight. But typically, you have less insider training. Never take information about a stock that has not been publicly disclosed. That's illegal, unfair trading, and it can lead to very explicit situations. It's illicit for you to do. It's, you know what insider training is? Insider trading. Basically, you have inside information that you use to gain an unfair advantage before the situation comes up on the market. If a CEO steps down, that's not public information.
They cheated.
They cheated at that. And that's where the SEC comes in to enforce the law about stocks. While Apple, well, the only cheating over there is if you hack their system. And, well, NFTs, the digital creator can cheat you too. So you see, be careful on that one. So how can the customer... how can the customer be protected when they're assessing digital assets?
How can you protect the bot?
How can the customer be protected when assessing digital assets? What do they need to be worried about?
I have no clue. This is beyond me.
So, what does a consumer at Xbox have to take in consideration when buying a game? Let's just go there. Should they buy the game from a third party, or did they buy the game from Xbox, which was more trusted?
Well, most people would buy the game if it's directly to the name brand of the company.
So they will buy the game in connection to the company, and then whatever platform the company is using is the protection that they should use when assessing the game itself, like buying from a source that's trusted. That's how they can protect themselves, so they don't get fraudulent games.
Sure.
And then Apple, well, all you have to do is buy from the Apple store for the purchase to be authenticated. Stocks are authenticated to someone with an actual license to sell to you. NFTs is the only one that doesn't have a lot of protection because you could be buying a supermodel who has this huge fan base. Well, they're selling photos, but the bidding war makes the price go up, but when you buy it, it has less value. So at the end of the day, the customer protection with NFTs is less there and you need to be more careful. And with any digital asset, you also need to assess who is the person you're buying it from. Are they a credible source, or what they're selling legitimate? That's the basic things you need to consider. So with that, that concludes digital assets and customer protection. Before we go, is there anything you'd like to say to the audience, Stephen?
I'm just letting you take the lead on this one because you sound like the expert, so.
Oh, I see. Well, anyway, with this testimony from Stephen to Apple and the Xbox, stuff like that, he's been very valuable for, you know, being an Apple user and trying to explore the ways of Xbox. Well, I'm providing logistics on how to keep your money safe. So you know what? There's a mix of both. With that, thank you for watching and see you guys next time.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.